FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Letts. I'm back from beautiful southern sunny California. It's actually a lot nicer here in Florida than there. It was rainy when I first got there. Temperatures were low, chilly, but it was actually quite nice being that I live in a state that only has two seasons, hot and very hot. And speaking of hot, well, DC has heated up. Things are going crazy there. First, as always, email us kl@kerrylutz.com. So the Mueller Report, a big nothing burger, as they call it. I don't know. Does McDonald's sell nothing burgers now? I've never seen it on the menu at any place that serves burgers. So if you've got a recipe for a nothing burger, send me the recipe at kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, anyway, John Rubino is with us now. John, as always, welcome. So the Mueller Report, talk about anti-climax, huh?
Yeah. You know, if we thought the left was tearing itself apart before the release of this report, now it's shifted into high gear because it's really interesting what was going on towards the end of this, where people on the far left were attacking the people in the mainstream media left because they thought that a focus on Russiagate was distracting from all the real reasons to oppose Trump. In other words, you know, the Rachel Maddow show, for instance, would spend all of its time on this one investigation for this one set of acts, which may or may not have happened because the report wasn't out yet, so who could know, and ignored all the other stuff that that Trump was doing that people on the far left considered much, much worse than, you know, sort of kind of talking to Russians about an election. And so now that the report has come out and shows no collusion and, you know, when the full text is released, there might be some other stuff we're talking about in there. But the original summary says no collusion, and that's basically it. It's over. And so these guys who spent 2 years of their lives on it are scrambling to justify their existence, basically. You know, Rachel Maddow, I don't know how many of your listeners ever watched the Rachel Maddow show, but I actually used to. You know, I thought she was a really interesting journalist because she would put things in context instead of just reporting what this senator said about this thing and then what this congressman said that disagreed with the senator. She would go back through history and tell you about similar things that happened in the past and then put what happened just now in context. And I'd liked that. So I'm set to record her show every night. But when the Russiagate thing started, she and I started playing a game where I would watch the recording of her show until she said Russia. And then I would turn it off. So I have this huge, big, long library of her shows where I've watched the first 5 seconds and turned it off, you know? So I have no idea what she does beyond that, but she starts with Russia and apparently spends her whole show on that. And so I don't get to watch her anymore because I'm not allowed to, because she says Russia right away. And under the terms of our game, I have to turn it off. But she is just being eviscerated on the, for instance, YouTube left. You know, there are these podcasts out there that are just ripping her to shreds now because they're so frustrated that that she wasted 2 years of their time for nothing. And that's true of a lot of the rest of the mainstream media now too. And Glenn Greenwald, who is a hero.
Yeah,
he's the guy who helped break the Snowden thing and the Chelsea Manning thing, and is on Amy Goodman's YouTube video show just, I guess, today. I just saw it this morning. And he is just ripping the mainstream media apart. And this is from the left. You know, this is somebody who's
he hates Trump.
He's further to the left of most of the newscasters that usually frustrate the right. And he is just tearing these guys apart because, you know, he thinks that they just wasted everybody's time. And they gave Trump a great issue going into the 2020 election. You know, this helps Trump's reelection chances dramatically.
Totally.
Because no matter what anybody says about him from now on, he can say, well, yeah, Russiagate, you know, you can't trust these people. Look what they did for the last 2 years.
And he has
a point.
It's going
to work because it's true. Yeah,
he has a real point there. And, you know, I tell you, man, it's just the funniest thing. I mean, when you see people this stupid, you know, on a jihad, and I mean that in the most negative term of the word, you know, I just knew, and I think you knew it. You knew it then. You know, this was just bound to be nonsense here. Really crazy nonsense. And we all knew it was coming. At least I did. Right.
I mean, I didn't feel like I knew anything, but because there were no leaks or anything, there was no evidence that was being presented for this past 2 years. So it just seemed like the right thing to do is to just not speculate about it and wait for the report to come out and see what mm-hmm. happened. You know, it's easy to believe that Trump does bad things.
Yeah.
You know, because he's lived a pretty corrupt life generally. Most big real estate developers.
By his own admission.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, he brags about buying politicians and stuff, and which is one of the refreshing things about him. You know, all the other guys in his social class do a lot of the same stuff, but Trump is just out front about it. You know, he plays the game, which is a corrupt game, mm-hmm. with a lot of enthusiasm and gets away with it. And so it's easy to believe that if you investigate him, you're going to find crimes, right? That's mm-hmm. kind of a given. So I wasn't expecting nothing to come from this. I kind of suspected that if they look into his life, they'll find some stuff.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it looks
sure.
like they kept the focus on collusion with Russia to steal an election, and they didn't find anything on that count. But I think there was no way to know what the Mueller report was going to say ahead of time, because he had such a wide scope to go after Trump. You know, he could have found some you know, bank fraud or real estate manipulation. He could have found some stuff like that, but he apparently just didn't go for it. But in any event, we should have waited until the report came out. And then Rachel Maddow could have spent her entire show mm-hmm. explaining what was in the report. But instead, these guys spent insane numbers of hours and insane amounts of time that could have been used for real investigative journalism on speculating about what was going to be in this report. Mm-hmm. And that was an incredible waste of resources. And you know, that's kind of journalistic malpractice. You have a limited number of resources with which to mm-hmm. serve the public good by ferreting out you know, malfeasance, finding what the people in power are doing wrong. That's your job as a journalist. And if you waste your time on something that is really pointless because there is no information, and that then you've not done your job. And that's what happened to the mainstream media this time around. They were so deranged by the fact that they hated Trump so much. You know, he just really, he trolled the mainstream media. You know, he activated them and got them to act so stupidly that it became to his advantage.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. platform. To stay on top of Aeton's latest drill results and news, go to aetonresources.com. Aeton trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
So, John, what do you think is the outcome? What's the effect on the markets of Trump's exoneration? And it is an exoneration.
I think it's probably irrelevant. You know, the economy is going to do what the economy does, and that's going to determine what the market does going forward. And it's going to be a tempestuous political time for us regardless. I mean, if they were indicting Trump, that would have been a really big deal. But as it is, the Congress is still going to be investigating Trump. And now an election starts where the socialists in the Democrat Party are going to do very well, at least at the beginning. So politics is probably going to be negative for the markets regardless, just because it's going to be unsettled no matter what. And so then it becomes about the economy. Like if we keep growing and corporate profits keep going up and house prices keep going up, then the markets will probably be okay. But that doesn't seem to be happening right now. And the last couple of months have seen a dramatic slowdown where housing has kind of rolled over a bit. Car sales are slowing down. Corporate profits are, you know, the corporate profits had some tough comparisons year over year. But even so, they're not doing as well as expected. So you add all that up and then combine that with stock prices at record high levels, and you get a dangerous market. That's not to say that they can't keep going up, because the central banks of the world, which is the other part of the equation, are starting to ease aggressively again, which means they're going to be pumping huge amounts of new currency into the banking system. That money has to go somewhere. So it could be that valuations don't matter in that kind of environment. So with stocks, you've got a lot of cross currents out there. But I do think that a slowing economy that gets out ahead of central bank easing, in other words, central banks doing what they're doing right now, that turns out not to be enough to stop the economy from slowing down. That would be bad for the markets. And the realization out there, which is coming, that central banks really have used up a lot of their ammo and didn't rebuild it by raising interest rates. So they can't cut interest rates as dramatically as they normally do in a recession, because they're already in a lot of cases at zero or negative. And that means they can't attack a recession the way they had in the past. And they've already bought up big chunks of the bond markets in a lot of countries. And then China, which is the other engine that pulled us out of the Great Recession, they did that by quintupling their national debt. And now they've got mini credit crises blowing up on them in their economy that probably won't let them take on another $20 or $30 trillion of debt if they need to bail the global economy out of a recession. So somewhere out there is a realization on the part of the markets and other people with capital to invest that nobody's going to save us this time. There's nothing really left to do that will stop a modest recession from turning into something much more serious. And that's when things get interesting, because it's possible that that turns out to be good for the stock market, because that means central banks will flat out panic. You know, they will start doing crazy stuff with the printing presses, and some of that money will flow into equities. Or it could be a catastrophe for the markets, because people realize that this is it. Actual market forces are going to have to bring about a resolution to this problem instead of, you know, manipulation from outside by governments and central banks. And that's not a good thing for stocks that are valued at record high levels in terms of earnings and cash flow and book value, et cetera, dividend yields. You know, none of the old indicators are saying buy stocks. So you need something new. You need a new age indicator to make you optimistic about the equity markets. And that would have to be massive deficit spending on the part of governments and massive increases in money creation by central banks. So this is uncharted territory in a lot of ways, with a lot of cross currents, but it's going to be tempestuous no matter what, because we're trying new things. most of which may not work. Yeah. And we don't know that for a fact until it happens. So we, you know, it's kind of a leap of faith between now and then. And then it's kind of cold, sober reality, which won't be great for the stock markets. So, the short answer is, who knows what's going to happen with the markets in the next year or two, because too much crazy stuff is happening otherwise. Yeah, and the markets are almost an afterthought to all this experimentation that's going on.
Complete and utter lunacy. And we're just going to see more and more and more of it as the markets get more and more irrational, right?
Well, the markets are already irrational. And the behavior of the big players in the economy are already, you know, it's the equivalent of what we're doing at the governmental level and at the central bank level is the equivalent of a family where one of the breadwinners loses their job and they just maintain their lifestyle by maxing out credit cards, right? You know, you to the outside observer, it seems like they're fine because the cars are still in the driveway and the house is still big and et cetera. But the internals of that situation are deteriorating dramatically. And that's where we are now. So the question is, when do you hit that wall? You know, when do you just run out of the ability to use new credit to maintain your lifestyle? And, you know, you can't know exactly when that's going to happen, but you know, if you continue on this path, it will happen. So we're headed that way. And this is all great for gold and silver, you know, to repeat myself just a bit. You know, when you have no choice but to devalue your currency dramatically to get out from under your debt, money flows back into the old kinds of money, like gold and silver, that governments can't create more of. And in fact, if you look at the big gold and silver miners out there, they're having trouble finding new reserves. They're actually
consolidating,
not replacing what they're mining, which means that there will be supply constraints in the precious metals market, at least as far as new production goes. At the same time, when tons of new capital are going to be flowing in. So I think it was Jim Rickards who the pull quote from an interview he did just lately was something about a $50 silver happening and with no looking back or something like that. It was, you know, that's the kind of thing that you get when things get this crazy. So we should expect $100 up days in gold, $5 up days in silver, and for that to just whet the appetite of the market. So this is going to be extreme when it happens. And it's just a question of when.
It's just a question of when. It's always a question of when. But when keeps getting closer and closer, nobody seems to want to do anything about it. Nobody can do anything about it at this point. But I would like to think that maybe Trump can pull another rabbit out of the hat. I think for sure, if he hadn't been elected president, we'd be in the midst of the recession that was certainly heading our way with subprime growth. And we would have taken on just as much debt anyway, when you get down to it. So where it's all going to end is anybody's guess, but it isn't going to be pretty.
No, well, it's already not pretty, and it's going to get uglier over time. You know, we have a decade for the history books coming up in which stuff happens that people will be speculating about and analyzing and writing about for the next century. And if you look back through history, periods like that we remember and that we still argue about are really bad times. You know, it's the old Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. These are going to be incredibly interesting times because an entire social system is going to fail. You know, fractional reserve banking, fiat currency, massive government entitlement systems and global military empires, all of this stuff will not work in the future. And all of it will have to be dialed back or will just collapse under its own weight. And when that does, for 99% of the people who have to live through it, it's going to be a bad time. So our intellectual challenge is how to put ourselves in that category of the 1% of people who get through this okay because they made the right decisions ahead of time. And precious metals are part of that, but there are lots of other things that you need to do to get ready for times like this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And there are things you can do. Any of us can do them. Forewarned is forearmed. So you've been warned many time, and we see it happening all around us. So let's get together. Let's try to figure this thing out together. Prepare. get ready. Anyway, make sure you check out John's site over at dollarcollapse.com. Sign up for his newsletter. Sign up for ours at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. And send us an email if you got any thoughts. And I know you guys on YouTube are watching, listening. So please subscribe, like, and share. Same thing on the podcast. Really helps me a lot when you do that. Helps get John's views out there. And John, like, something's happened on YouTube. We're going semi-viral in spite of all their efforts to sandbox me and stop the message from getting out. So I don't know what it is, but keep doing it.
All right. That is good news, Carrie. We should find out what's happening out there, huh?
Yeah, anybody who's configured this out, just send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. Till next week, John.
Thanks, Carrie. See ya.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.